The white fathers have told us, I think, therefore I am. But the black mother within each one of us, the poet inside, whispers in our dreams, I feel, therefore I can be free. Learn to use what you feel to move you toward action. Change, personal and political, does not come about in a day nor a year. But it is our day-to-day decisions, the way in which we testify with our lives to those things in which we say we believe, that empower us. Your power is relative, but it is real. And if you do not learn to use it, it will be used against you and me and our children. Change did not begin with you, and it will not end with you. But what you do with your life is an absolutely vital piece of that chain. The testimony of your daily living is the missing remnant in the fabric of our future. There are so many different parts to each of us, and there are so many of us. If we can envision the future we desire, we can work to bring it into being. We need all the different pieces of ourselves to be strong, as we need each other and each other's battles for empowerment. The surge of power you feel inside you now does not belong to me, nor to your parents, nor to your professors. That power lives inside of you. It is yours. You own it, and you will carry it out of this room. Yes. And whether you use it or whether you waste it, you are responsible for it. Good luck to you all. Together, in the conscious recognition of our differences, we can win, and we will. A luta continua. The struggle continues.
Yeah, thank you, Alice. Good morning. Yeah, my name is Bev, and I decided to go to GA this year because Karen, our Reverend Karen, has completed her final fellowship with the UUA, and she was honored for that at the Service of the Living Tradition, and I really wanted to see that. And so while I was there at GA, I decided to do a few other things. I sang in the choir, which was amazing. I talked to people I didn't know, which is unusual for me. I was part of the green team, the recycling team at GA, and I also went to many meetings, business meetings, and worship services, and I made one workshop. So anyways, feel free to ask me about any of those things after the service if you're interested. I've written a brief reflection on some of the thoughts and things that inspired me from GA this year. GA, General Assembly, the annual meeting of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, just shout out anything you need to know and whenever you want. Yeah. Uh-oh, I should have said that. Anyways, okay. So I'm going to just take one sentence or one of the many thoughts of that beautiful reading from Audre Lorde that Alice did. And this quote, it is our day-to-day decisions, the way in which we testify with our lives to those things in which we say we believe that empowers us. I love that idea of being empowered by our day-to-day decisions. We also heard like a similar idea from the WARE lecturer, Brittany Packnett. And she said, ask yourself, after every sermon you write, every song you play, every post you share, every donation you make, every strategic plan that you write, every hire you do, every cause that you pick up, every bit of attention you seek, every piece of knowledge you share, every lesson you teach, every word you speak, every action you take. Did I just uphold supremacy or play my part in its destruction? I strongly believe that this type of reflection regarding our day-to-day actions is extremely important for our movement. And I believe we need to also be reflecting on these questions together. This is hard work. We need everybody. We need all of us to do this work together. I heard very clearly from our leaders at GA, including our new president, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, about the commitment of the UUA to do the important work of centering the voices of those who are marginalized and dismantling white supremacy culture. We are being called, as Audre Lorde said, to testify with our actions, to ask ourselves whether we are upholding white supremacy culture with our actions, as Brittany Packnett said. And we're being charged, I believe we're being charged to dismantle this unjust system, and we are being called to do this work with each other, to not go it alone. We are being called to do this work together in our committee meetings, in our board work, in our choir, in our stewardship and fundraising, in our interfaith work and beyond, in our association. Basically, I believed we are being called to do this work together in all of our spheres of influence. So now it's a part in my reflection where I have to make a transition, and I thought about doing a dance, but instead I'm going to sing a few lines from one of the songs called Be the Change by Michael Abels that I learned in choir. Be the change you want to see, make the world you want to be. When we cry and complain, still the answer's the same. Turn the page and be the change. So, changing gears. Thank you. So, another idea that I got out of GA, specifically Brittany Packnett, the WARE lecturer, had this to say: if we only battle and we never build, we will still be left on the patch, this patch of the universe, to live with one another among the rubble. So it's important that we not just dismantle and destruct. I believe we are being called to center the voices of those who've been marginalized, to dismantle white supremacy culture, and to build the world we want to live in. I believe we are being called to build a new way together, to be the change we want to be. And I believe this work will save us. In that spirit, please rise as you are willing and able and join in singing hymn number 1017, Building a New Way.
Yeah.
So GA, Kansas City, Missouri, 2018, was my 14th GA. I started going when I was 15 about. So I've had a lot of experiences at GA, but this GA was specifically engaging for me because I was on the GA safety team. Yes. Yay. And our task was to monitor, I guess, the climate of the community, to be in touch with any kind of conflict that was happening within the community or outside the community. Specifically, our aim was to get Unitarian Universalists at GA to contact us before they contacted the police, owning that for a lot of communities, contact with police can often be more harmful than helpful. So as the safety team, we were kind of the intermediary between our community and the Kansas City, Missouri PD. The largest incident we had to deal with was Westboro Baptist Church coming to protest GA. My experience with that was, in a way, I was proud that we were being we're loving enough and radical enough to be protested. So I felt proud about that. Another role that I had at GA was I was the older young adult to speak at the Synergy Service, which is the bridging ceremony for 18-year-olds and seniors in high school to become young adults. And I'm going to just share with you a couple excerpts from that speech. I think that it's very relevant to my experience at GA in general. As Unitarian Universalists, we have inherited the freedom to determine and accept on our own terms how we live out our faith. We are urged to seek knowledge, to refine our understanding of the world that we live in. The fourth principle guides us on a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. For many, Unitarian Universalism provides a community in which we are all free to choose. We strive to create a beloved community in which personal choice, the freedom to be who we are, is cherished by many. Our ability to individually and collectively choose the energy that we put into the world is something that I believe is distinctive about our faith. That being said, I encourage you to take a second and deeply consider how much of your presence in Unitarian Universalism at James Reeb is due to simply choice. Are you solely here because of your power to make a selection of a faith that best encompasses you? Or is there more at play? I speculate that for those of you who were born or adopted into Unitarian Universalism, as well as for those of you who found Unitarian Universalism later on, that there is something more than just personal choice or the choice of your caregivers that brought you into this community. I encourage you to explore what aspects of your path to Unitarian Universalism have been made involuntary. What contributions have past generations made to this faith that your dedication to Unitarian Universalism has become nearly compulsory? It is the contributions of generations past that have made way for myself, a black woman and proud Unitarian Universalist, to hold both of those identities as not conflicting or opposed attributes, but as simultaneously and harmoniously linked aspects of my existence. The space that has been made for me by you use of color so that I, an anxious, uncertain, and hesitant black girl, was able to find a community in which I was able to unpack the degradation that oppression had done to me and supported my exploration of black joy. This is what I pass on. It is the offerings of generation past that have emboldened my passion for social justice. It was you youth of color who challenged me and other youth of color to examine and ultimately confront the internalized racial oppression we were struggling with. Additionally, white UUs, predominantly youth and young adults, showed me that to truly be in beloved community together, that they had their own work to do as well. I have inherited a sense of obligation to confront and question injustice within our denomination and at the world and the world at large. This is what I pass on. I did not choose Unitarian Universalism until later. And what I came to understand is that Unitarian Universalism had chosen me. And also, when we were at GA last week, we sang Kumbaya, or Come By Here. Amanda Thomas, the music director, introduced it in this way. She said, in the words of Issei Marie Barnwell, Kumbaya, or Come By Here, in the Gullah language, has become snarky shorthand for feel-good or weak-minded groupthink. A soulful cry sung by the Georgia Sea Island slaves, the song was carried on by Southern blacks in the time of Jim Crow and lynch mobs, and later by the Freedom Riders when they learned that three of their workers had been murdered by Klansmen. What people say, it was a kumbaya moment. It clearly was not a kumbaya moment. It's actually an invocation for God to come by here now because things are needed. If you hear people using it mistakenly, please gently correct them. So I invite you now, in the spirit of lamentation and invocation, to what is larger than us, to sing Kumbaya. You can remain seated.
Thank you. Bev, and thank you, Alice. So the theme for this year's General Assembly was All Are Called. I've done a lot of thinking about what that means. What does it mean, as Bev said, to do this work together? We did all the usual business in ways that were meant to be more inclusive of folks who have felt held at arm's length in the past. People of color, people with disabilities, young people, old people, other people. We gave gratitude and honors to people and to organizations who've done exceptional work within our institution. We heard inspirational and moving words and music. I heard words I have heard before. Words about being an accomplice rather than an ally. About how what our siblings of color need from us white folks is a willingness to risk our bodies and our comfort. Accomplices. I heard words about needing all of us to do this work. I heard words about centering the voices of people of color, the experiences of people of color. I heard words about how this amazing living faith tradition has room for us all, just as the love that holds us all does. The Reverend Sophia Betancourt, one of the leaders of color who agreed to serve as co-president during a whole pile of upheavals last year. Reverend Sophia Betancourt preached the sermon at the service of the living tradition, the one where we honor ministers who have reached certain milestones. And after reading the excerpt from Audre Lorde's commencement speech that Alice read earlier, Sophia said, "We are on a journey toward redemption. We have lived a year filled with lamentation, with the promise of generations, the failures of the everyday, and the deep down gritty messiness that is the promise of our salvation. There is inherent goodness that exists between and among us." She spoke of many aspects of our work to hear and center those voices that we have held out in those margins, the ways we're shifting our culture to be truly inclusive to everyone, even as we learn more and more about who everyone is and what they need to be included. She said, "The journey toward redemption is about truth-telling, lamentation, and owning our wrongs, while at the same time claiming the profound possibility that calls us forward. We are the inheritors of the legacies of white supremacy, but also of an unimaginable grace, of certainty in the possibility of redemption, of weaving a tapestry of leadership that may not yet be what we long for, but is called to be the richest expression of humanity's sacredness." And then she asked us to stay. Stay. Stay in the work. Stay in our faith. Stay and keep moving toward redemption. The Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, our Unitarian Universalist Association president, at the Sunday morning worship service told us that, "Theologically, our universalism tells us that no one is outside the circle of love. However, we must understand that in our lives, in the context of oppression and discrimination, that the circle has never been drawn wider from the center. It has always grown wider because of the vision, leadership, and organizing of people living on the margins, who truly understand the limits and costs of oppressive policies and what liberation means." Ooh. These ideas usually put a pretty big fire in my belly, and I usually come back from our General Assembly ready to continue the work of widening that circle. But because of some of my own experiences this past year and those of some of my white friends and colleagues, they landed a little differently, and I want to share that with you. Until this year, I had heard those words framed as a plea to people of color to stay despite the harms, despite the hurts, and for white people to shift and make room. And I have spoken them that way too, myself, so many times, too many times to count. But this year, after a year of being part of our courageous conversations on culture, after talking with white people who are feeling pushed aside, I've been talking with more and more white people about how it feels to be called to make that shift. How it feels to hear and embody the ask to have my voice decentered so voices that have not have room to, had room to be heard can begin to be heard. And now I find myself thinking about this thing we call white fragility, the resistance of white people to this shift. Because that's how it's framed. It's framed as resistance, as if it were an active thing that I'm pushing back against. But what I'm learning in my conversations with white people is fear, is uncertainty, is not being able to sit with not knowing what it's like to always be heard, to fear that there's no place for me in this work. I serve on our Unitarian Universalist Association's sorry, I'm off script here. Our group called Allies for Racial Equity, which is a group of white people who are charged with working with white people to do this work. And I'm hearing again and again this fear of feeling not a part of anymore. And so this is the thing I'll be thinking about, I think, over the summer as I go on study break, as I read Beverly D'Angelo's book on white fragility. The struggle to continue, struggle in a different way than we often use the word, but the struggle to continue to hold those people who have been the voices of color. Are we going to push them out? Are they going to feel pushed out, I think, is more the question. One of the things I learned about this General Assembly in a debriefing session at the end was that we had more people of color at this year's GA than we have had in a very long time, and we had a much, much higher proportion of people of color because there were that many fewer white people coming. And so I wonder what that is. I wonder what that is. And I wonder what I can do as a minister, as someone who is feeling this shift, as someone who is trying to affect this shift, what can I do to walk with the folks who are going, ah, I don't think I can do this? So these are things I'm going to be working on for a while. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. And I want to end on a more definitive note. Our delegates, which are the representatives of all our congregations who come together in this General Assembly, we voted on a whole host of things. We voted to, finally to give our religious educators delegate status automatically, which means that Alice gets to vote. Our religious educators get to vote, even if they're not members of our congregations. Long time coming. We voted on a congregational study action item, which is a thing that we study for 4 years. And we voted on 3 actions of immediate witness, which are things that we promise to pay, or we advocate at least to pay attention to over the course of the next year. And those things are all listed in an insert in your order of service. I'm happy to report that our congregations are being asked to learn about white supremacy culture, to build relationships with people of color and other oppressed people, and to participate in community organizing. And for our actions of immediate witness, we're being asked to advocate for dismantling predatory medical care practices in prisons and ending prisons for profit. We're being asked to advocate for building solidarity with indigenous water protectors. And we're being asked to advocate for ending family separation and detention of asylum seekers and abolishing ICE. And I I got to read that last action of a media witness yesterday at the press conference on keeping families together. I got to speak those words. They are all online and they are all listed. The links are all listed in your order of service. Building a new way. Come by here, Lord, as we build this new way. I invite you to please talk with me about how this sits with you. Blessed be.